Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, from chapter 17, The Divisions of Faith, texts 11, 12, and 13. I'll read the Sanskrit with the translations. Apala kang shibhir yagyo vidhi dishto ya idjate yashtavyam eveti mana samadhaya sasatvikaha. Of sacrifices, the sacrifice performed according to the directions of scripture as a matter of duty by those who desire no reward is of the nature of goodness. So in this section, Lord Krishna is discussing about sacrifice. The Sanskrit word is yagya. Now, all of Vedic society was based on yagya. What is rather erroneously known as the caste system, there was the arrangement of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. It was not meant to be an exploitive system, but all grades of human society, people should be graded according to their occupation and proclivity. That's guna, or rather karma and guna. They would cooperate together, and the result of the what is produced, grains are produced by the Vaishyas under the direction of the Kshatriyas and Brahmanas and with the assistance of the Shudras. So grains and ghee are produced and they are offered in yagya or sacrifice that is organized by the Kshatriyas and conducted by the Brahmanas, and everyone participates. This is a mass yagya performed by the great kings. And in this way, the whole of human society benefits. And of course, individually, brahmanas would also perform yagyas. And they would perform yagyas for the kings also. So in this way, yagya was the central focus of Vedic life. That everything, yagya means that everything should be offered ultimately to Vishnu. That was the point that it was supposed to lead to. Now, yagya or sacrifice, like any other kind of activity in human society, including religious activity, it can be performed in different ways. Yagya means sacrifice. So sacrifice gives the idea that we're offering. In yagya we say, samapayami, I am offering, I offer this. But how we offer, that may be done in different ways. If we offer without any expectation of getting something back, that is in the mode of goodness. That is being described here. Here's an example. In the shop, sometimes you see special offer, buy two, get one free. So we know that it's an offer. They're offering you something, but actually they're not doing it. The business company that's doing it, they're not doing it because they want to benefit you, but they have their own profit in mind. There's some kind of trick, or they want to get you used to buying their product, or they want that that buy two, get one free, and still they make some profit there. It's not that they're making any loss. It's to make you think that you are getting some benefit. We are offering something to you. So they are offering something to you, but they have in mind their own profit. But here it's described that sacrifice in the mode of goodness means you just do it as a duty. It's stated in the Vedic literature, you should do like that, I should do it. This means to follow dharma in the mode of goodness, sattva gun. Then, text 12, in the mode of passion, rajogun. Abhisandhaya tu palam dambhartam apichaivayat Ijjate Bharata Sreshtha Tam Yagyam Vidhi Rajasam. But the sacrifice performed for some material benefit or for the sake of pride, O chief of the Bharatas, you should know to be in the mode of passion. Now here's a bit of a conundrum. Because in the Vedic literature it said, well, you perform this sacrifice and you get this benefit. If you perform such and such a sacrifice, if a king performs such and such a sacrifice, then he will get the benefit of, he will get divine power for ruling over the citizens, or one may perform different, apart from sacrifices, there are various religious activities which one may perform. One may perform certain kinds of fasting or worshipping different demigods or performing parikramas, circumambulation of holy places. And the idea, it's even mentioned in the scripture that if you do this, you will get such and such a result. If you don't eat salt for the whole 4 months during the Chaturmas, the 4 month observance, then you develop a very sweet voice. So that's very good for singers. Or if you observe complete fasting on the Putrada Ekadashi day, then you will be blessed by having good sons. So in this way, it offers material benefits. It's an inducement. Yes, do this. And you will get some material benefit. But actually, the purpose of offering those material inducements, it's to accustom people to sacrifice. That don't just try to directly enjoy everything in the world. We are not the enjoyer. We are meant to serve the Supreme Lord. So at least begin by recognizing Him. Offer something to Him. Now, if people are of very miserably low consciousness, then worship the Supreme Lord and you will get something back. And they think, okay, that sounds good. I'll get more. Let me invest. It's like an investment. If I have money now, let me spend it and I can immediately enjoy it. But if I invest it, then I'll get more back and then I can enjoy more later. It's some consciousness like that. So the idea of offering material inducements is to accustom people to the pious life with the hope that they can gradually become elevated to come to the platform where they engage in pious activities as a matter of duty. That is sattva gun. So it's a conundrum that it's offered, you do this for some material benefit, this pious activity. But then if you do a pious activity for a material benefit, you don't get the real benefit, which is the higher benefit, which is the blessings of the Supreme Lord to become detached from all ideas of material benefit. Because material benefit, it's like a trap. We think, let me enjoy material goods, let me enjoy this material world. But that enjoyment, it's always mixed with suffering. So there's no real enjoyment in this material world, or whatever enjoyment is there, it's so intrinsically mixed with suffering that we can't really enjoy it. Let's give an example. Now, a very favorite food preparation here in India is kheer or paramanna, it's called in Bengali. Payasam may be called in there. There are different names, different words in different languages. Milk, very nice fine rice is put in milk and it's boiled till the rice becomes soft and the milk becomes very thick. And that's sweetened, and maybe some raisins and some sweet spices like cardamom, elaichi, they're put inside. So it becomes very tasty. And if we eat that, it's very nice. Of course, we must offer everything to Krishna first. That's the proper way to do things. Now, it sometimes happens that the rice is not cleaned properly, and rice, it's husked on a stone, so sometimes little pieces of stone are mixed up with the rice. So if it's not cleaned properly, if you don't clean the rice before cooking, then you'll get little bits of stone, tiny little bits of grit mixed in with the rice. So what happens? You're eating this, oh, it's so nice tasting. And all of a sudden, you bite on some stone, and oh, your tooth breaks or becomes so painful and so unpleasant. So the pleasure of eating that sweet rice boiled in milk is completely spoiled by that horrible sensation of biting on a piece of stone. And then if there's much stone in the sweet rice, you can't enjoy it at all. But you still may be trying to enjoy it, but at the same time, there's always the fear, I'm going to hit my tooth on the stone, and then that actually happens, and your tooth may break. And so the enjoyment is completely spoiled. So it's like that. That's an example. Material life is like that. We think we're going to enjoy, but concomitant suffering must be there. But still we're so foolish. We think, let me enjoy this material world. This proclivity to enjoy this material world is in the mode of passion. And it's so strong that even when we come to do some religious activity, instead of thinking, as we should do, that let me do this wholly and solely for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, we're entering some bargain. That, okay, God, I'm doing something for you. What are you going to do for me? It's a kind of business deal. That is not bhakti. That is not devotion. We may think it's a good business deal. We may have faith in God. That, yeah, well, if I offer 100 rupees in the box, then last time you offered 100 rupees, then I got good fortune and I earned 1,000 rupees. So you may think it's a good business to worship God. And it might be, it might work out like that. But that's not bhakti. That's a kind of business. And that mentality is being pointed out here. That bhakti means, sarvopadivinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. That without thinking in terms of, I am this body, I am the enjoyer of this world, being freed from such consciousness, and simply engaging our senses in the service of the master of the senses, namely Lord Sri Krishna, that is bhakti. So Bhagavad Gita is directly teaching us about bhakti, and indirectly teaching us that, no, this is not very good. You don't do sacrifice like that. You can do like that. But that will not give the real result of the sacrifice, which is if we do without any personal motivation. There are different levels. Even without personal motivation, we perform a religious activity, but we don't know that the positive motivation should be to satisfy Krishna. I won't do it for my own sense enjoyment. I'll do it selflessly as a matter of duty. That is in the mode of goodness. Even above and beyond that is doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. So there may be different motivations. In the mode of passion, we may fast on a fasting day and we may think, well, by doing this, I'll get the blessing of God and my business will improve. I'll ask God to improve my business. I'm doing this fasting. So, God, I'm doing this specifically with the purpose you improve my business. And your business might improve. And that's a lot better than being a complete atheist and not believing in God. But it's still a long way from the highest principle of doing everything for the satisfaction of God, Krishna. And in between that is doing the mode of goodness, sattva-gun, that, all right, let me do the fasting. It's prescribed in the scriptures. I shall do it. It's my duty. I shan't ask anything from God. I shall simply be good for the sake of being good. That is the mode of goodness. That is more elevated than rajagun, the mode of passion. But still, that has to be improved up to the level of pure bhakti. And pure devotion to Krishna. That is being described herein by Krishna. Now, Krishna describes sacrifices performed in the mode of ignorance or darkness, which is called tamogun. Vidhihinam asrishtanam mantrahinam adakshinam shadha virahitam yagyam tamasam parichakshate. any sacrifice performed without regard for the directions of Scripture, without distribution of prasadam, spiritual food, without chanting of Vedic hymns and remunerations to the priests, and without faith, is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. So this is described sacrifice in the mode of ignorance or darkness. So you may think, well, why would anyone do any sacrifice or any religious activity in the mode of ignorance? You'd think that people would be totally irreligious. Well, that's it. Sometimes it's quite common in the modern age, especially, that people perform superficially religious activities which are not actually religious at all. Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport, sometimes people worship some demigod just to make money and then spend the money for recreation, ignoring the scriptural injunctions. And that's quite common nowadays. You see the pujas that are conducted here in Bombay. Ganesh Puja is very popular, Ganapati Puja. And it's becoming more and more each year like a mundane party that with disco music. And in Gujarat, especially, this Garbharas is very popular. And now they have disco Garba. It used to be a religious function for the worship of Mataji, Durga Devi, which is not pure bhakti to Krishna, but we can say it's religious. But nowadays they have like this disco Garba, and the abortion business increases significantly in the period after that, because it's become a lusty affair in which young boys and young girls, they dance together for the sake of increasing their lust. It's completely turned around the opposite of what it should be. So this is some superficially religious affair which is actually conducted in the mode of ignorance for becoming irreligious. In the name of religion, they're performing irreligious activities. See this Saraswati Puja, which the students are supposed to worship Saraswati, but more or less what goes on in the name of Saraswati Puja nowadays, it's some kind of excuse for the students to extort money from people, which they then use for drinking alcohol, which is, and again, they play this very loud, horrible music, which is not at all pleasing to Saraswati, who is apart from being the goddess of learning, Vidya, she is also Veena Pani. She's holding the Veena in her hand. She is the goddess of music. And they play this horrible noise, which is supposed to be some kind of music. Music in the mode of ignorance. Music is supposed to uplift one's soul towards God, but in the modern age, the kind of music that is popular is that music which drags one to hell by increasing the kaam, krodh, and lobe. So we can see from this analysis how human society is overcome by the lower modes of nature, rajagun, passion, tamagun, ignorance, so that even what goes on in the name of religion mostly is something which is far, far away. People, they invent, someone claims themselves as an avatar, and they say he is God and they worship him, not according to any scriptural rule, or they quote some scripture completely out of context, or they say that religion is meant for personality development so you can cope with the modern material world, whereas actually religion is meant for understanding that our real personality has nothing to do with this material world whatsoever. So practically the field of religion is completely screwed up. It's not only in the Hindu world, you'll find also in the Western countries they celebrate Christmas, which actually they have no idea when Jesus was born, but they say this is supposed to celebrate his birth. Christmas, it used to be what they call a pagan celebration, which they took over. And Christmas in the West means indulgence in eating more meat and drinking lots of alcohol. And Jesus is the last person they think about, most of the people. So religion has become completely screwed up by these demoniac people who, in the lower modes of nature, what they call religion is something which actually drags us down, down, down and down. Therefore, we're so much grateful to those who give us the genuine thing, who are not interested in cheating us, but who give us that which is actually for our benefit. And of course, we must mention Srila Prabhupada, who has given us this Bhagavad Gita as it is. And of course, Lord Sri Krishna himself. He's not cheating us. Almost everyone in the name of religion is cheating us. But Krishna has described in Bhagavad Gita what are the different levels of religious activity, so we can understand. Is this tamagun? This is irreligion in the name of religion. Or is this rajagun, which is religion but performed for a mundane purpose? Or is it sattvagun, which is actual religion performed not for any personal motive? Or is it beyond mundane religion whatsoever, purely spiritual? Purely spiritual means that which is executed wholly and solely for the satisfaction of Krishna. So this analysis is given here in Bhagavad Gita, and again, please excuse me if I sound repetitive, but it's such an important thing, and we really want to impress it upon everybody, is that this Bhagavad Gita as it is, we really have to study it under the guidance of devotees so that we can understand what is our direction in life, how most of the ideas we have about what is religion and what is the purpose of life, they're all wrong actually, because we're living in an age of deep ignorance of the actual necessity of every living being. So we request you very strongly, we urge you, please study this Bhagavad Gita as it is. Srila Prabhupada has presented these books not to cheat us, but to give us the most valuable treasure of devotion, Shuddha Bhakti, at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So please study this Bhagavad Gita as it is. Understand what is real religion beyond all personal motivation. And always and everywhere chant the holy names of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The ancient wisdom that you have just heard is contained in the publications of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust.